The scripture reading is from Psalm 38, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 38, beginning in verse 1. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. We'll stop there.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you from what you find in 2 Samuel 9, verse 8. 2 Samuel 9, verse 8. And he, Mephibosheth, and he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? We write above the sermon, Mephibosheth. And we see him in his humiliation. We see him in his assurance. And we see him in his astonishment. That are all aspects which come forward from out this confession. What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And let it be our prayer that we all by the Holy Spirit feel a unity with Mephibosheth. Dear congregation, what a difference is there between the king, David, and between Mephibosheth. The king in his glory, the king on his throne, and Mephibosheth as a dead dog at his feet. The lowest place, with his face on the ground, and a cry on his lips, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Do you understand the difference in your own experience? Did you ever see the King of Kings, Christ, in his glory, in his might, We read that the Apostle John said, "And when I saw him, I fell as dead at his feet." That's the same. That's John looking unto Christ, seeing Christ in his glory. And that's the desire of every true Christian, to know and to see Christ. Christ must be revealed to our soul. By nature we don't see him. We know a lot, we heard a lot, we read a lot. But with the eyes of our soul, to see Christ, the King, in his beauty. There are so many sights on Christ. And it may be our prayer today that we may see him really in his suffering and dying love, in his all-covering brightnesses. But it may be also our prayer that we may see him glorified at the right hand of the Father, and that our hearts may be filled with desire. Come, O Lord Jesus, come quickly. What a difference. And on the one hand, we feel that, children of God, Christ is so holy. Christ is so pure. Christ is so great. O Lord, who I am, that I should come to such a wonderful person, that I shall sit at his table, when I look on myself, so unworthy, so sinful, then there is such a difference between Christ and me. That's what Mephibosheth, I think, feels when he is laying down on the ground before the King David. There's the difference. But there's also a wonderful unity. What unites the hearts of King David and Mephibosheth? Well, that's the love of David. Love unites our hearts. Only love. And what may give us liberty to come at the table of the King? Nothing in us. My children, you still know what Mephibosheth means. He who spread shame. And who Mephibosheth was, belonging to the enemies of David. His grandfather was King Saul, and he had only one goal, to kill David. A man who deserved death, but by the love of David, he was drawn from Lodebar, brought to Jerusalem, and now on his face, on the ground, at the feet of King David. And yet there was such a wonderful love, the love of the King. And that's in our case too, isn't it? When the love of Christ became known to us, his drawing love out of the darkness, out of our false religion, out of ourselves, drawn to God in Christ, laying at his feet, longing for his grace. O God, be merciful, a sinner. And Mephibosheth, that's our first thought. He bowed for the King in deep humiliation. And let that be our prayer too, that we may bow this morning for the King of Kings in deep humiliation, and that we may feel by the Holy Spirit yet more than Mephibosheth felt. For he was laying at the feet of an earthly king. How wonderful when we come at the feet of our King, Jesus. And by living faith we see him who loved us so much, that he draw us to himself, and that he gave his life for us, that he reconciled us with God and brought us back to the Father, and gave us his Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, by which we can say, Abba, Father, the child of the living God. That's the most wonderful thing a man can have on earth. We read in our text, and he bowed himself. When did Mephibosheth bow himself so for the king? When became he so deep humiliated? When? It was the love of the king. For what did he hear out of his lips? Fear not. He feared. There's an holy fear. And it's not good when we don't know that holy fear. How are we? There's an holy fear to come to the table. At one hand, oh Lord, such a man, a dead dog, as I am. But when the Lord this morning say to you, fear not. There is no reason for your fears. There are so many fears and doubts often in the hearts of the Lord's people. But when his voice sounds this morning in my heart, and we hear him really, fear not. Come and feel my love for you. Come at the table. Taste that I am good for a bad sinner. Then there comes a holy boldness. Then there comes a liberty. Then there comes a desire to sit there at the king's table, as an invited guest, called by him, drawn by him. Fear not. And he bowed. That means he agreed. He was humiliated by the love of the king, hearing his voice. And that's what we need too, isn't it? I will surely show thee kindness. I will surely show thee kindness. I will give my love in your heart. I will give you my nearness. I shall do and show you my forgiving love, says the King of Kings. For I died for you. I gave my life for you. Therefore, fear not. Come and taste that the Lord is good, that the King is good, the King of the cross, the King of glory, that he is good for a bad sinner. And he bowed. He was not worthy such a mercy. And yet he heard it out of the lips of the king. I will show thee kindness. I open my heart for you. And let that be our desire, my dear congregation, that we by the Holy Spirit may see and look in the heart of our Savior, and that we may really see his love for me. I love you. I love you so much that I gave my life for you. that I descended to hell for you, that I took away all your sin. And when the love of Christ is dwelling in us, is growing in us, is felt by us as a wonderful reality by the Holy Spirit, oh, then we bow in deep humiliation. We never can understand it. We only can admire it, that wonderful love of our Savior. He heard it from David himself. It was very personal. The relation between Christ and his church is very personal. My sheep hear my voice. And sometimes that voice can cause fear too. But sometimes his voice gives such a sweetness and such a wonderful enjoying in our hearts. My sheep hear my voice. Fear not. I am it. Oh, that may be the case tomorrow, this morning, for everyone who fears the Lord. I will show thee kindness. It's only my grace. Nothing in you, nothing from you, nothing in ourselves, everything in Christ, for Christ's sake. And therefore we can come. There is an abundance of kindness, of love in Christ for his people. People of the Lord, by grace, you can say, O Lord, I love thee. Though my love is weak and faint, yet I love thee and adore, all for grace to love thee more. But know that the love of Christ is far, far exceeding more the love you can ever have for Christ. And that the desire of Christ to comfort you, to fill you, to make you happy is so eternal, divine, strong. Don't look upon your own love. It's a fruit of his love. And by grace we can say, O Lord, thou knowest all things. I love thee. But the love of Christ, look upon Christ. Look in the heart of Christ. Let that be our prayer and desire, to know Christ in his love. And they may be filled with that love, that wonderful love of the Savior, to such a sinner, such an unworthy sinner as I am. And when we really enjoy and see the love of Christ, there is nothing more that humiliates us, that makes us low and little in our own eyes, than seeing and feeling the love of Christ, that wonderful feeling, Christ loves me, and therefore I love him. What a union between the king and Mephibosheth. For the king was speaking, and the king was sharing his love with him. And the king made him happy. Every word of the king was a blessing for his soul. Every word of the king made him more and more happy. And so it is when we hear the voice of the King of Kings, when Jesus, by his word and spirit, is speaking in our hearts, and we really believe that his love, his righteousness, is ours by his wonderful grace, deep humiliation. Then he bowed, and there he led at the feet of the King. But yet we see, in the second place also, that Mephibosheth is sure. Assurance. That's often a problem in the hearts of believers, isn't it? Is it my own work? Or is it really the work of God in my life? Am I really invited to come to his table? Or do I eat and drink myself a judgment Is it true? And it must be true. It's not good when we never have that question. When we don't trouble about that. Is it true? There must come and be and grow an assurance in our heart that it is true. That it is really the work of grace, the work of God in our heart and soul. And when we are a living child of God, our heart is longing for that assurance. For the humiliation of Mephibosheth doesn't take away his assurance. So many people also are looking on themselves, their sin, their unworthiness. No, I can't go. I'm not worthy. You are not worthy. And you shall never be worthy. Christ is worthy. When you can come on his account. On his merits. On his rightnesses. Cursed is your unworthiness. When it keeps you away from Christ. That's not the true unworthiness. We are unworthy in ourselves, and we can never feel that deeper and better. Of course, that's needy. That's the way. The true feeling of unworthiness, through humiliation, draws us to Christ. To whom shall we go with our sin? To whom shall we go? There's only one who can and is willing to save us. To bring us back to the Father, to fill our hearts with heavenly joy. If people said he doesn't go away because I'm a dead dog, therefore I cannot sit at the table of the king, that's not what he is saying. He bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant? Thy servant. Thy servant I belong to thee. That's the desire of my heart, to serve thee, to follow thee, to be with thee, to obey thee. That's the assurance, part of it. By grace I'm willing, O Lord, to be thy servant. To serve thee with all my heart and life. That's the pleasure of my life, by grace. No other master, no other place. The best place in thy house, the best place at thy feet." Is that true in our heart? Thy servant. And do you know what's so wonderful? Mephibosheth calls himself the servant of David. But what says David himself? Mephibosheth, I gave you a place among my sons. Your place shall be among the sons of the king. Not my servant, but my child. That's what the king is saying. Is that not wonderful? O Lord, by grace, it's the desire of my heart to serve thee, to be thy child. That's such a great thing. I cannot say that by myself. But when the king is saying it to you, come, my child. Sitting on the table of the children. That's what King David says to Mephibosheth. Your place is among, not among my servants, but your place is among my sons. How wonderful
And the Lord Jesus is saying this to us. And by His Spirit, make us sure that we are a child of God by the Spirit of adoption, witnessing in our heart that we are children of God. There are moments in the lives of the true children of God that it is impossible to doubt. Impossible. Because the Lord Himself makes it sure. And when the Lord is speaking, when the Lord is working, and when the Spirit witnesses, there is such a wonderful union between Jesus and our soul, and by Him with God, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, that we cannot doubt at that moment. We cannot understand it. It makes us so humble. For it's the most wonderful thing on earth to be really a child of God and to know that from the Lord Himself. And to feel that till in the deepest of your heart, when you are sitting at His table, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you, O Lord, for me, not only for others, but also for me. Then you eat, then you drink from the bread of life and the waters of life. King Jesus, He himself makes it sure in the hearts of His children when we hear His voice. And His voice comes deep and powerful in our heart when we feel His love, forgiving love, and our sins fall away, and we find rest at His feet. Did you ever enjoy that rest? I will give you rest. Burdened, heavy laden, there comes a sinner to Christ, and I will give you rest. Rest in His finished work. Rest in His perfect righteousness. Rest that He only is the way to the Father. The foretaste of eternal rest. Let it be our prayer and desire, congregation, to sit at the feet of the table, at the table's King, and there rest. Rest. Oh, I will give you rest. That's a wonderful experience, isn't it? When our soul finds rest again and again, as we sit there, and we want to stay there, because we have a foretaste of eternal rest and eternal happiness in and by Christ, because He Himself makes it sure. And it's impossible to doubt, for the King is there. His voice sounds in our heart. His love is dwelling in us. And take away all our doubts and fears. And so He Himself assures us from His wonderful and tender love, eternal love, for the chief of sinners. It brings Mephibosheth also to astonishment. We see that very clearly expressed in what he is self saying. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon? Thou does it. Thou looks upon me. That's sure. That I enjoy. That's reality. That's wonderful. That's not to understand. That's only to admire.
He is in astonishment. How is it possible?
The people of God can never understand that Christ looked upon me.
Then you can understand that you never understood it. You understand nothing of it. We can never understand that God in Christ looked upon me.
When we are proud, then our nature, religious, we are sometimes, a lot of people are it, against the doctrine of election. Why not I? Why not I? As long as we deserve it. As long as we have some worthiness in ourselves, we don't know the matter. But when we condemn ourselves, when we know in reality that we are worthy because our sin to be cast away forever, when that became reality, I'm a man only who spread shame. Then we begin to admire the Lord. Then we cannot imagine that the Lord can love such a sinner as I am, such a wretched man. And we cannot understand it. And the more grace we receive, the greater becomes the wonder. For in the exercising of true faith, my dear friends, we become lower, more bad. We decrease, and Christ increase. The wonder becomes grower. We cannot understand it at all. We can only admire His wonderful grace for such a sinner as I am. For who am I? Mephibosheth, he sees it so very clear. Such a dead dog. Double unclean. The dog is an unclean animal in the Old Testament. And dead is unclean too. When you came to the holy ordinances of God, you couldn't go there when you had touched the dead. The dead makes you unclean. A dead dog. Devil unclean. So he feels himself. So he sees himself. How is it possible then, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Not as I was, but as I am. Do you know the difference? The people of God must say, not I was the chief of sinners, but I am the chief of sinners.
That's what the Apostle Paul says, and what all the true people of God must say. Not I was, that's the hypocrite. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. I'm now a newborn man.
The chief of sinners, the dead dog, as I am,
in myself, devil unclean, quite unworthy, nothing, only guilt. Only sin. Nothing in myself. A dead dog.
Are you dead dogs this morning? the Lord Jesus looks upon such dead dogs. Oh Lord, there's nothing in me. And therefore our form says so nice. We are in the middle of the dead. And we seek our life and salvation outside ourselves. That's so clear for Mephibosheth. All what I am and have now, and all what I need, it's only by the King. It's only from the King. 100% grace. Therefore, dear dogs, you are welcome to admire your Savior, to glorify your God, that He looked upon you, and that He brought you in His presence, and that He did experience you, His wonderful forgiving love. And you cannot miss Him. Don't deny Him. Let your unworthiness and sinfulness not keep you away. Welcome as a dead dog in yourself to profess and confess that everything you need is in Christ only, in the desire to be close to Him, dear to Him. Christ in me and I in Him. And so the wonderful experience of His nearness and a reality here and now. And I think that the hearts of all the true people of God are united in this humiliation, are longing for that assurance, and are one in admiring God in Christ for such a grace for a dead dog. Wonderful Savior, He receives the sinners, the dead dogs, and eats with them. And so Mephibosheth comes at the king's table and is filled with the love of the King, a wonderful meal. Continually, we shall hear it tonight. Not one time, but evermore. When we ever taste it from this food, when we ever drink from this wonderful drunk, we are always longing for more, again and again, till we are there, where the Church of Christ is glorified, the glorified Church, now sitting at a round table, in eternal presence, in perfect love, a unity between the Church above and the Church here, one Catholic Church of all ages, and united in the same desire, in the same wonderful grace, sitting at His feet, finding rest. Come, taste that the Lord is good for a dead dog. Amen. Let us read together now the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23-29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, he is so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousnesses. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and those firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and unity in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, warmongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who led offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed
Dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin, for we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remains against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and rightnesses, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, he that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and has humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remissions of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink at it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. And this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth, in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one vine floweth, and mixed itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are ingrafted into Christ, be all together, one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed this in word, but also in very deed, towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him. And thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouth and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith led us, not doubting but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him.
Come, for all things are ready now. There is still place for a dead dog, seeking life in Christ only. The bread we break is the communion at the body of Christ. Take and eat, and believe in your heart that the body is Christ, is broken for you for the forgiveness of all your sin. The cup of thanksgiving. We with thanksgiving bless means the blood of Christ shaken to the forgiveness of all our sins. Take and believe that the blood of Christ is shed for you to the forgiveness of all your sin. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us read together now a portion from the Word of God, which you find in John chapter 17, the verses 16 till 26. John chapter 17, from verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word,
that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. They may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a wonderful grace, beloved in the Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us always. A perfect prayer, a wonderful love. We can never understand it. I said it in the sermon. Why I, a dead dog, the chief of sinners, and then Christ, for such one as I am. It's too great for us, not for Him. Sanctify them through Thy truth. That's by grace the desire of our heart, isn't it? To be sanctified. That means to be for the Lord totally. All our thoughts, all our desires, all our life. That's by grace, our prayer, our desire. And that's our sadness and sorrow that we are still so far from it. And in the best moments when the Lord is near to us, and we sit at His feet, enjoying His love and rest, then can be the desire so great to be there where He is. And that shall happen soon, for our life is short. It's only a sigh in the light of eternity. And our Savior is praying for us. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Be with me. The fruit of His prayer is in our heart and life that we want to be where He is. Where He gives His love, thus experience His nearness, to be in the nearness of Christ. That's our delight, isn't it? That are the most happy moments of our life. And the love of Christ is overwhelming us. And we are in His nearness. And that's one drop of the ocean of love in which we shall dwell soon. When the prayer of our Lord is heard perfectly and eternally, Father, I will. I deserved that place for them. I gave my blood. I gave my life.
I did everything what was needed to prepare them for such a wonderful eternal place and eternal happiness. Father, I will. That they also, whom thou hast given me, the eternal countenance of divine love, covenant of grace, and the Lord opens it for the eyes of our face. Thou hast given me from all eternity, given by the Father to the Son, so that he should deliver us and should make us free from all the bounds of sin and Satan, and to prepare us for that place. Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, to see his glory, to see the King in his beauty, here by the eye of faith, and soon in reality, in eternity. Oh, let that desire fill our hearts, and let that go with us when we go in the desert again. And let us look at the end in true desire, O Lord Jesus, to be with thee, to be where thou art. There is no sin, there is no separation, there is no struggle. Christ is all in all. We see the King in his beauty. In them, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. His prayer. He's praying that the love of God, God is love, and the fullness of that love may dwell in us, and our body is too weak to bear it now in fullness. But the drops of it are very sweet when the love of God is living and lively in our heart. And we can say by grace, O Lord, we love thee, because thou loved us first, that love may be in them, never goes away. It grows to perfectness, for our Lord is praying for us, and I in them, Christ living in us. The unity with Christ, that's the wonderful grace and blessing. And that gives a blessing that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We have a task. When Christ is in us, he becomes visible in us. We are a blessing. When we are blessed, we are made a blessing for our children. O Lord, confer them, for our colleagues, for everyone who the Lord brings on our way. For when that great and wonderful love was given to us, we have so much room and hope also for others. When Christ was so good for me, he can it be for you too. I in them, then we glorify God. Then we have communion with God, then our life is hidden with Christ in God, and we are prepared to eternal salvation at home with Christ. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and therefore it happens. Comfort each other with these words. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commanded therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord, from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us conclude with thanksgiving now. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thy only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of the Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.